Hello, and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm Ed White, your host this week. Today we're going to get some advice on three critical elements of farming from people we spoke with at Ag in Motion. We'll get some perspective on the organic oats market, which has grown much in recent years. And we'll hear how some families felt about being able to get back to a big outdoor farm show after a pandemic hiatus. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Maybe you've had an idea about upgrading your operation. Maybe about finally getting that renovation done or buying some new equipment. Or maybe you're thinking about how you can be a bit more financially secure from season to season. Get some help making it happen by speaking with an RBC Agriculture Account Manager. Then set up an investment plan to make even more of your ideas happen. Visit rbc.com/chartyourcourse and get started today.
I was delighted to be able to attend Ag in Motion in July. It was the first time for me. The sprawling outdoor farm show west of Saskatoon saw almost 30,000 people show up to see what's new in farming, to check out crop plots of the newest varieties, and to see machinery demonstrations on real fields. But it wasn't just hardcore agriculture being enjoyed at AIM. People brought spouses, children, and even pets to walk up and down the wide pathways of the 100-acre site. I was particularly pleased to meet Sophie, an 8.5-year-old Great Dane who was still playful as a puppy. I also got to meet Briley Hundeby and Maya Radix, a child and a baby brought to the show by their mothers Lindsay Hundeby and Alicia Radix.
Well, there haven't been many like farm shows or anything for the last like 2.5 years. Yeah. What's it like to be able to take the kids to farm shows?
It's fun to get out of the house and like just have them experience the farm shows and everything. Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah, they're getting balloons, right?
Yes.
All the free stuff, I mean.
Yeah, can't go.
It is hot, so I'm not sure how long we're going to last, but it's really good to be out again. Yeah.
I also had a chat with Pedro Peters as the mid-July sun beat down upon us.
Yeah, so people haven't been able to go to many farm shows for the last couple of years. You're here with a couple of young ones.
Right.
Who are you here with and what's it like to be back?
Okay, so I'm here with four of our boys. Two boys, the oldest two are not here, but we were excited to come back because we used to be here before COVID and we enjoyed it. So we're looking forward to come back here just to see everything and see what's out there, see what has changed over the years, right?
Yeah, and what are you looking most forward to seeing? What kind of stuff?
I don't have anything specific. To be honest with you, I like ideas. I look at everything basically, look at ideas, look at what they've changed, and I just like to see what's new, right, basically. So.
And how about the kids? Anything you kids are looking forward to? Free stuff?
No.
Ice cream probably, right?
Yeah, me too, so. I think we'll all need some ice cream by the end of this afternoon.
Yeah,
so warm.
For sure. So no, I work on a farm. And so, yeah, I don't own the farm, but I work on a farm, and I enjoy it, so.
Yeah, and where's that at?
It's in between Moose Jaw and Swift Current.
Moose Jaw and Swift Current.
By Herbert there, yeah.
Inside one of the tents, which offered shelter from sun, wind, and rain, I spoke with Chad Wallace, a technician with Precision Scale, about returning to in-person events.
What's it been like for you getting sort of back out here to these sorts of events and talking with large numbers of people again?
I like it. I'm a social person by nature, so I enjoy talking to people. I was before this stuff, I was meeting with people 3-4 times a week, right? You know, suppers, stuff like that. So it is really nice for me to get back and do that. Other half, on the other hand, introverted person, so there was no change in her schedule kind of thing, right? If she couldn't go to the barn, she was choked by that, right? So, so it's nice definitely for sure getting back out. The interactions, it's really nice to see there's other people out there that, you know, really, I would say the last couple of years, mental health issues for people who are outgoing. If you're not getting that interaction, like the lockdowns and stuff, they were a little, you know. So it's definitely a nice bit of sunshine to get back out again, right? So.
This brings us to the news you can use part of the program. The reason I was speaking with Chad was to get some tips from him on how to keep on-farm scales and weighing devices operating correctly.
Yes, so tell me, With scales, they're often used in like kind of muddy, mucky, dusty, dirty environments, just naturally trucks or animals. What are the problems you see and how can producers counteract that?
Well, one of the biggest issues we see is cleanliness in scales. And when I mean cleanliness in scales, I'm not talking on top, buildup and stuff like that. That can affect it more so with your zeros and stuff like that. The bigger issues you're going to have is kind of your approaches. So if you got a, let's say a vehicle scale, or if you got a truck scale or something like that, or livestock, where you're having whatever you're weighing, i.e. the truck on a truck scale coming in on the approach side. And what's happening is if you got, let's say it's winter time, or let's say it's springtime, you got, you know, the mud and whatnot, your vehicles or the cows are tracking in that that debris, and it's building up in between the approach and your scale end, okay? And the problems with that is what's going to happen is it's going to cause what we call binding. And that's gonna cause the scale not to settle naturally. It's not gonna rest properly on the load cells, and you're not gonna get a good reading.
It's gonna say you're light.
Yeah, right? It's gonna say you're right. May not return back to zero. It won't be consistent. So, for example, with an issue like that, what you're gonna have is, yeah, you do a weighment. Say you do, you bring a truck on, right? It's gonna weigh one weight. You're gonna get a reading on that. You're gonna drive off. It might not come back to the same point where you started, and then you drive on again. It might not read the same, and that's because it's hanging up. So the biggest advice that I could give anybody who does own a scale, does use it in their daily operations, check, make sure it's clean underneath, in between the edges. The only thing you want touching the load weighing devices is pretty much the scale itself. So that's the biggest issue. It would save you a service call, but if you do have issues, definitely give us a call on something like that.
Yeah, because if you're weighing something, you actually want to know what it weighs.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's if you're using it to tailor your process, if you're a farmer adjusting feed rates and whatnot, or if you're batching, right? There's a lot of chemical plants and whatnot, everything. So, you know, fertilizer, the seed coating plants and stuff like that, and they all use scales for figuring it out. So.
Glacier Farm Media's Laura Rance got a chance to talk with Trevor Sherman of Sure Gain about how to avoid blowing your harvest with poor combine settings.
Trevor, farmers come to a show like this and they're really interested in the technology. They're interested in the new machinery, they're interested in the precision agriculture equipment.
At harvest time, the biggest mistake is they see the goal line of the year and they try to just get in and give her, and they're just not taking into account everything they've done, and they want to get the crop in the bin.
Why is that costing them?
They're in such a rush to get it done that they're not calibrating their machines. They've paid thousands of dollars for the machines, and they have so much technology on them. They're just not using that technology. They're not calibrating them. They're not setting them properly. They're just kind of getting in and giving her.
What kind of money are they leaving on the ground?
Well, with today's commodity prices, it's more than ever. Very common in that growers tell us is, you know, 2 to 3, 4 or 5 bushels an acre until they get it fine-tuned. So, you know, that times today's commodity prices in canola is a lot.
What can they be doing about it?
The biggest thing is you just got to test. It's no different at harvest than seeding. You know, everyone complains about the cost of canola seed, so they're calibrating their drills constantly to get everything fine-tuned and dialed in. Yet they get in their combine and they seem to forget about all those fine-tunements and calibrating the machines.
Now, you've come up with a piece of technology that will help them do that calibration. What is that?
Yeah, so we invented the SureGain drop pan. So you're dropping the pan behind the combine to see what is going out the back of the combine. And from there, it's a diagnostic tool. You're going to see, you know, what is in the pan and maybe where it is in that pan. Then you can kind of diagnose what's happening inside your combine because it's a snapshot in time. And with that information, we want them to calibrate their loss monitor.
You've taken that a step further to beyond calibration to doing something about it. Talk about CombineSettings.com.
So the idea from having all these people tell us how bad their losses were and how they figured it out and the time it took, Combine Settings is a place where peer-to-peer we can go there and say, okay, I have the same combine as you. You're in a different area, but you're combining the same canola as me. You know, maybe if I just look at your settings and try them on my farm, it'll give me a step in the right direction as how to set it. So the drop pan is fine-tuning, and the combine setting is we're trying to build a community where people want to help each other.
You mentioned in your presentation that a lot of farmers sort of pretend that they don't really want to know the answer to how much is getting kicked out the back of the combine. What kinds of excuses do you, or what kind of rationalizations
we hear lots of that where people, we ask them, you know, do you check your combine losses? And we've had people tell us, well, I don't want to know. And, you know, every business in the world wants to know their ROI, their cost of production. So when we hear that, it's, you know, it's almost disheartening. Like, you've worked so hard all year to get it, and you're not willing to take the extra step to do better. And we're, again, with combine settings, we're trying to get those people to come together and everybody work together to do better. Because every year it changes. Every combine is different. Every condition, every variety, you know, little tweaks can make a big difference.
You also mentioned that the combine manufacturers are trying to help farmers by just making combines that set themselves.
Yep.
Why is that a bit of a fallacy?
So a combine, it's automation, a big word, a lot of data. But the combines that say they set themselves, it's based on algorithms. So until you give numbers to the algorithm, it doesn't make sense. So you can set that combine to max throughput, or you can set it to most efficient with losses accounted for. So if you have your loss accounted, calibrated, quantified, now the algorithm knows what that is. So it will set itself, but you have to give it some information.
So what should farmers be doing to get on top of their harvest losses?
One, calibrating your machine top to bottom, whether it be the moisture monitor, the loss monitor. You want to calibrate your sieve clearances, get all that stuff done. You know, some of the dealers do it, but they do come out of calibration. And if you do any maintenance on your combine, that might change the calibrations. You know, where were they set for their settings? In the parking lot at the dealership? You know, you do it on your farm, in your field.
What's wrong with just setting it? And, I mean, you set it last year. What's going to be changed for this year?
Yeah, lots can change. One of the biggest changes we notice is straight cutting canola. Canola is one of the biggest crops in Western Canada, and it is the hardest to harvest efficiently. And, you know, straight cutting, whether crop's been rained on for 2 or 3 days, can make a difference. You know, this year we're looking at a little more crop than last year. Last year the crops in Western Canada were generally poor. You know, that took it some fine-tuning itself. You're trying to put all that straw and product through with very little grain. So this year, hopefully, we have a better straw to grain ratio. And some years we have, you know, lots of straw and lots of grain. So all that is part of the puzzle, right? And that's what we're trying to do, is the puzzle is constantly changing. How do we still use the same pieces?
So it's time spent every year. What kind of return do people get on that investment of time?
Lots. So I've had people come to our booth and tell us we bought them new half tons. You know, with commodity prices, let's use $18 for canola. If you're losing 3 bushel and you can get that down to 1, that's a considerable amount of money. And if you do that on 2,000-3,000 acres, it's a lot of money. That, you know, it might only take you an hour or two to get. So one of our taglines is, it could be the best hour and the most money you've ever been paid to set your combine.
So if they decide to go with your technology, there's a cost to that as well. They don't have to use yours, obviously. But,
correct, yeah.
What kind of expenditure are they putting
on? So our drop pan is $1,800, and we've had lots of people tell us they paid for it in the first day. We've had people tell us in the first field. And then, you know, from there, it's free.
And CombineSettings.com?
So CombineSettings.com, so we're just getting it all together, but the fee is an annual fee of $199.
And what do they get for that?
So $199, you sign on, you enter your combine, your settings, maybe the crop you're in, and you can dial it right down to the canola variety. And from there, other people can see your information and you can see other people's information. So if you have a neighbor that's close, you know, close could be 100 miles away, and he has the same combine as you, same conditions, it gives you a starting point. Rather than dropping the pan 40 times, trying to figure it out, and maybe in that 40 times you've lost 100 bushels, right? So that's $2,000. So you can, for $199, you can find a starting point and go from there.
And so really, when you say creating a community, I mean, they're able to talk back and forth. They're not having to go through you.
Correct. So we're trying to set up, like I said, we're building it as we go, but we're trying to set up chats. And the chats are going to police themselves. So lots of people were in, you know, Facebook or Twitter and asking for questions. And it gets really annoying when you're looking for an answer and someone just types, buy a John Deere or buy a Case. You know, those people aren't adding any value, and we're trying to bring people that want to add value and share their experiences in one place.
Thank you.
You bet.
That was Trevor Sherman of SureGain. Once the crop has come out of the combine, it goes into the bin. A lot of bad things can happen to the stored grain. I asked Warren Feist of IntraGrain Technologies how grain monitoring systems are evolving to protect that grain in these high-cost, high-priced times.
I would say the biggest thing right now, commodity prices now, double, triple what they've been traditionally. So we're hearing a lot more about protecting those grains, even though the idea of taking it off dry and not having to worry about it, that's kind of gone to the wayside now a little bit. It's more, there's all sorts of things that you don't know what can happen in the bin, especially when you're hedging and you're now holding that grain a lot longer now than traditionally you used to be able to do. Sometimes it's 6 months that grain is staying in the bin. So it's almost like an insurance policy. You put insurance on your tractors and your crop and everything like that. And oftentimes the mentality was once it's in the bin, it's safe. That mentality is starting to change a lot now. Like the protection of that grain in the bin now is really top of mind. And we're seeing more and more of that now. Yeah.
So because guys have invested so much money
exactly
in that crop that if it goes bad in the bin, you've lost a lot more.
Exactly. We hear stories from a lot of our dealers where the farmer will put grain in the bin. We just heard a story yesterday from a farmer up in, I believe he was in Manitoba, where he was adamant that his corn that he put in was dry and everything was good, and he didn't believe the alerts that were coming from the system. And here it was because of there was some tiny holes in the top of his bin where once the snow started melting, the moisture started coming through and creating some moisture pockets that really turned into a heated grain to the point where they could barely hold on to that grain with their hand. Wow. So trust the system. That's all I can say if you have one.
What's kind of new in the area, compared to 5 years ago and 10 years ago? What is possible now that wasn't then?
I'd say the biggest thing would be the ability to read moisture content in your grain. That technology is not new today. It's been around for, half a dozen years or so. Some of the newer things are, some of the automation that's out there, where fans will start and stop based on ambient conditions outside, picking the optimal times to run fans. You can choose it based on your grain quality or even time of day type things. So if you're looking for energy savings, especially in the Eastern Canadian market, they're looking for more of that kind of off time runtime of their fans where, it's not peak usage.
Different charges, right?
Exactly, yeah. So that's some of the new stuff that's out there. A lot more interest in the wireless technology rather than the walk up to the bin and plug in. The new generation of farmers looking for more of that technology where everything's at their fingertips on the phone. So we're seeing a lot of the next generation of farmers approaching us with their fathers and grandfathers, really asking a lot about the technology and trying to get into it a lot more.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed with, I think, you guys and Lallemand and even, I think, the Nutrien presentations, everyone's talking about trying to make things easy to actually do for the producer, because that's it. With so many demands these days of technology, making things simple is really vital. Is that something that, you folks think about, is making it real simple?
Absolutely. Our flagship product, which has been Sense Live, that's the in real time 24/7 monitoring system. So that really gives a peace of mind. You can set your system up and set some parameters on what you want to see for different types of scenarios in terms of heating and kind of some trends that are happening with temperature in your bins. And you can really I'm going to say forget it. You don't want to forget it, but you can really set it and forget it. Go on holidays. We have lots of customers who do it just because they take winter holidays. They want to make sure that they have an eye on that grain at all times. And the ability to turn fans on remotely is huge for some of them. So when you're sitting in Palm Springs on the beach and something happens with your bin, rather than phoning up your neighbor buddy and having them come over, you can actually just click a button and have that fan turn on.
Ag in Motion wasn't just about how to produce a crop. Selling that crop for good money is a perennial producer concern, and AIM had many grain buyers and marketers present offering their services and viewpoints. An interesting and growing market is organic oats, which are becoming a mainstream commodity. I asked Kelly Cornelius of Grain Millers about that.
Well, we're North America's largest organic oat miller. So obviously that came with a lot of growth and expansion in the industry. Oats right now in general are quite the hot commodity, and I think the prices, you know, reflect that obviously. You know, there's been the last few years, obviously there's more push towards health consciousness and you know, sourcing food organically, and people are more I guess in tune, or it's the demographic is starting to really widen in terms of people wanting to, you know, have organic options. So it has helped obviously prices and farmers in that regard for sure.
Yeah, and is it hard for you guys to source enough organic for all the demand from processors?
Well, there's obviously demand is outstripping supply at the moment. Tough year last year, again, that never helped anything. So obviously with organic, you likely will see a bit of, you know, less yield, obviously. So obviously to source it does create a bit more of a challenge to try and find. But we do, we bring them all the way down from La Crete, right? La Crete, Bryce? Yeah. So, you know, our organic region is quite, it spans basically all three provinces, where most of our conventional stuff is bought pretty close to our plant in Yorkton. So, yeah, we do the best we can with what Mother Nature gives us, right?
Yeah, yeah. And what kind of growers do you find doing it? Like, are they the dedicated organic growers, or people that do hybrid, like a bit organic and a bit?
There's some regenerative farmers, and some, I find on average that the organic farmers, I guess, have a slightly different outlook for the most part. I think they're more conscious about farming in terms of, you know, their impact. A lot of them do it just for their bottom line too, though. It is, you know, very profitable if you can do it correctly. I guess that depends. I mean, every producer is different.
Yeah, yeah. And like, how is the organic side contracted compared to the conventional side?
Okay, yeah. So all of our organic contracts come with a full act of God. Obviously, there's more variables at play and more things that you can't control when you're organic. So we do offer that to all of our organic growers, that you do have a full act of God clause in the contract.
Is that not in the conventional side?
No, conventional, we don't have act of God, and that seems to be the industry standard that, you know, I feel for the most part we're pretty fair with farmers and dealing with them. You know, if they do come up short on their contracts, usually we can work something out. You know, we don't like to buy out, you know, we don't like having buyout checks issued. Usually that's the last time you will buy oats from that specific producer if that ends up happening. But, you know, it's nice with the organic having that safety net, I guess you could say.
Yeah, because they got more variables.
Yeah, less options in terms of weed control. And timing's a big thing, too. I mean, a lot of organic guys are on the smaller side. You know, they might not be able to get it in or get it off as quick. So you got to, you know, work with them. And I hope Grain Millers, and I'm sure that Grain Millers does have a good reputation in the organic realm, I suppose, for, you know, bringing farmers into organic, coaching them through organic. You know, we have programs with them that we do crop tours and visits. You know, if they have questions, they can always call us. So we try and have a relationship that's, you know, beneficial both ways. So
that's all for this week. Please join us again next week for another edition of Between the Rows. I'm Ed White.
Maybe you've had an idea about upgrading your operation. Maybe about finally getting that renovation done or buying some new equipment. Or maybe you're thinking about how you can be a bit more financially secure from season to season. Get some help making it happen by speaking with an RBC Agriculture Account Manager. Then, set up an investment plan to make even more of your ideas happen. Visit rbc.com/chartyourcourse and get started today.